In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Cleveland's a great place. It's that my grandfather is buried in Cleveland at the Sacred Heart Cemetery. Cleveland is always been important to me. Today, what a great day today. It's the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is going to happen. And what's really astonishing is that the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is her children becoming like her Son. That's her triumph. And image and likeness, and that's the theme for today. Today also is the day that my mother died. We buried her on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Also the day of my spiritual director, a great guy. As a matter of fact, he was born in the same town that my mother was born in, and it was in Rome, Italy. He was a great man, an amazing priest. As a matter of fact, he was best friends with Archbishop Cassati, who started the cause of Luisa Picaretta. He always talked about him, but he never mentioned his name. And then after my spiritual director died, I was talking to Archbishop Cassati, and I said, "Do you know Father Francesco Trevasi?" And he goes, "Oh, Trevasi." He goes, my best friend. And I went, all these years, Francesco would talk about his best friend who worked in the Vatican, the secret archives of the Vatican, not the secret archives. That's where Francesco worked. He worked in the Sacred Congregation of the Saints. Today's a great day. Everything. See, God pulls everything together, even everything in our life. Everything that we've gone through has prepared us for this day. And today we are going to finally talk about the image and likeness of God. The whole talk is going to be on the life that Adam had before the fall. And our Lord, it wants us to begin to live this abundant life. This is why it's, you think about it. I heard about Luisa in 76, and finally, here it is, 2001. We're finally talking about the image and likeness. There's so much in the divine will. The St. John said, if everything was talked about what Jesus taught them, it would fill libraries. Well, this is the Book of Heaven. In the Book of Heaven, there are many, many, many themes. It's all of the universal life that our God wants us to begin to live. And so today, finally, we're going to talk about the image and likeness of the divine will, to enter into this gift, the image and likeness of God. So volume 1899. My daughter, you are victim as I am. Okay, so this victimhood that we consecrated ourselves to last month. I know some people are concerned, you know, oh, I don't want to suffer, or I am suffering more now than later. It's the victimhood is to die to our ego and our will. The victimhood is to say to Jesus, my life belongs to you completely. My life belongs to your mother completely. You, Jesus, and Mary. Through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. So here we begin this understanding of victimhood. It's not to give life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's not to go back to living miserable lives, but lives that are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. This is what God is asking of us. And we begin where Luisa is. My daughter, you are victim as I am. We have to understand that all the saints have said that the bride of Christ must go to Calvary to be crucified. This is where we're going. It's not the crucifixion that Jesus went through and Mary watching her son go through. It's not the crucifixion that Louisa went through every day. But it's to crucify our misery, to crucify our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. This is where, I mean, all I hear from most people is gloom and doom. And I mean, even people in the divine will, I hear this. What do they say? They say, oh, this is going to happen and then that's going to happen. What happens if this has happened? What happens if that happens? And it's like, you're free of it. My daughter, you are victim as I am, as God is. Let all your work shine with the same intentions as mine. Pure, holy. What? To be holy is to be happy. There's no other way of being happy than to be holy. There's many, many people looking for happiness in this life, and they end up going to hell. Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners, they want to be happy, and they listen to the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they end up on the path to hell. And Jesus says to us, would you stand in the breach for them? Would you be willing to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is peace, joy, and happiness? This is holiness. And so he says, let all your works, every thought, every word, every deed, shine with the same intention as mine. It must be pure, must be holy, so that finding my own image in you, I, Jesus, may freely pour the influence of my divine graces coming through the Blessed Mother, and I may offer you, adorned in this way, as a fragrant victim before divine justice. So again, our job is to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness, to begin to live a life that is happy. You know, when people say, oh, there's going to be the 3 days of darkness, there's going to be, you know, the illumination of conscience, there's going to be, the warning, there's going to... Well, again, a good parent warns their child, don't do this or you'll suffer the consequences. That's basically what Jesus and Mary are saying to us. What we want, what we expect, okay, is a greater than Nineveh. What happened with Nineveh? 40 days more and you will be destroyed. And they heard the voice of God, not with their ears, but they believed in it. And they change their evil ways. That's what God is doing with us. All of us, as scripture says, all of us fall far from the glory of God. Yet God is asking us to be in his image and likeness, to be pure, holy, to find his own image in each and every one of us. So why? So that God can freely pour his influence of divine graces and that Jesus may offer us, okay, to the Heavenly Father, adorned in this way as a fragrant victim before divine justice. See, Jesus returns to give to the Father a purified earth, a perfect earth. So how is he going to do this? How's God going to do this? Through us. Each and every one of us are sinners, and one venial sin will keep us from heaven. It means we have to go to purgatory to be purged of all that is offensive to God. And so what the Lord is saying is, you are a victim. What are we a victim to? No more misery. What do we do with our human will? Every week we go to confession, and every week we confess, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I'm tired of living like this. And I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid all near occasions of sin. And then we begin to discipline ourselves. And for most of us, it takes years and years and years to break free from the oppression that we have had in our lives from basically day one when we were born in original sin. Okay, when we're baptized, we are now entering into God's image. That's what holy baptism does. So once we enter into his image, then Jesus begins to show us how and why he wants to us to live in his likeness. And that's the book of heaven. So what is this 3 days of darkness? God has to give to the world what they want. And what does Jesus say? He says to Louisa, I have to release all the demons. And Louisa says, no, Lord, you're the Lord. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. And Jesus says, you don't understand, Louisa. Humanity wants this. How do we know humanity wants this? Well, those that practice birth control want it. They don't want God. Those that want abortion do it. They don't want children. They don't want what God wants. Those that are into alternative lifestyles, they don't want to follow the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. They've already said to God by how they think, say, what they say and what they do, is we want to live an alternative lifestyle from God. Our job is to understand that confession is necessary for us Catholics. It's necessary for the world, but it's necessary for us. Why? Because offered in this way, as a fragrant victim, that's why I like to burn incense. It's the incense is going to the throne of God. Just to see it, see the smoke going up, is saying to God, let my prayer rise before you. To smell that odor of sanctity rising up to God. A fragrant victim before divine justice. That's Louisa. And now Jesus is saying, it's you. If you want this, if you want to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 2, 8 to 13, 1899. The last time Jesus came, he made himself seen crucified. This crucifixion is the most important thing for us. Jesus crucified is the power of God. It's where he defeated Lucifer. He freed us from the slavery of sin. And so here, why does he want us to look at him? That's what he wanted his mother. He wanted his mother there on Calvary to watch him die. That's why the hours of the Passion are so powerful. If we learn how to pray the hours of the Passion, good things happen. So last time he came, he made himself seem crucified. See, if we don't look at Christ crucified, we complain to God. Why me? Why do I have to go through this? You know, what did I do? What did he do? He took our place. What is crucified on the cross? All our sin, but also all our worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, the doubts, that's all crucified with Christ. If we can't meditate on Christ crucified, then we will not spend any time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But once we understand his love for us, then we begin to understand the love of Jesus in the Eucharist. He is our prisoner in the tabernacle, a prisoner of love, as Pope St. John Paul II said. So she says, I place myself near Jesus to kiss his most holy wounds. And again, when you venerate the cross, Jesus says, I accept it as you are actually kissing me. I place myself near Jesus. Why? To kiss his most holy wounds. It's the same thing with the baby Jesus. When the Pope kisses the baby Jesus, it's not just, oh, that's a silly thing, or that's, oh, how cute. No. Jesus says, I accept it as you are actually kissing me. And I place myself near him to kiss his most holy wounds, doing various adorations. But while I was doing this, instead of Jesus, I saw my own image. I remained surprised and I said, Lord, what am I doing? Am I to myself? Am I doing the adoration to me? She goes, this cannot be done. See, we are nothing. Okay. In the universe, if the earth, if God can hold the galaxy in his palm, what are we? We're not even a speck. God is everything. And so our job is not to pat ourselves on the back. Oh, how great you are. Well, look at what you're doing. No, how great God is, how perfect he is, how loving he is. to enter into his image and likeness is to adore him. And she's going, what am I doing? I can't be doing this. At that very instant, Jesus changed into the person of Jesus Christ. And he told me, do not be surprised. I, God, have assumed your own image. This shows us the great humility of God. God is so humble that he wants to possess us, and he wants us to possess him. So what does he do? He comes to us to be our food. And then when we eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, we enter into his likeness. This is the thing that's so amazing. God is getting us ready for this abundant life. And do not be surprised that I have assumed your own image. So what the very first thing that I learned about Louisa back in 76, learned about the divine will, was to look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. Look to the heavens, look to the universe, look to at night, look to the beautiful blue, the aura of God, the heavens, and as in a mirror and see God. Don't be surprised that I, God, have assumed your own image. He wants us to be his perfect masterpiece. That's what he says to Louisa. I want you to enter into this image and likeness again. If I suffer in you continuously, what is the wonder that I have assumed your own shape? So this victimhood that we're going through is to get rid of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's crucified with Christ. It's not ours anymore. If I suffer in you continuously, and like we've just read the Beatitudes, blessed are you who mourn. What are you mourning for? You're mourning for your family away from God, away from the church. Remember, on earth, those that are strong survive. No, Jesus says, those that are meek inherit the earth. I suffer in you continuously. That's the Magna Carta of the Catholic Church. Learn the eight Beatitudes. Live the eight Beatitudes. If I suffer in you continuously, what is the wonder that I have assumed your own shape? Besides, is it not to make of you an image of me that I make you suffer? Going back to the victimhood, as we are freed from worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, we're entering into the image and likeness of God. Volume 4, 1-1, 1900, being the truth, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. When somebody says we have to be truthful. No, we have to be full of Jesus. He is the truth. The soul always tries to perfect herself, and the soul shall never arrive at seeing herself perfect in this life. Again, all the Hollywood, all the awards. I mean, I've gone to people's houses and their shelves are filled with trophies. Look what I've done. No, it's God. God has done everything. And what we want is we want to enter into this abundant life of God. The soul always tries to be perfect herself, but the soul will never arrive at seeing herself perfect in this life. We will be a reflection of Jesus. And when we enter into the kingdom, God will show us off. He'll say, like he's going to say about Louisa, here is my Thea. Here is my Thea. The same thing with us. He's going to say to us, you are in my image and likeness to a greater or lesser degree than what God has given to Louisa. No one will ever arrive at the total reflection of Our Lady. But again, the triumphantly making the heart of Mary is we become like her son. this thing that's coming, the illumination of conscience, is the book of heaven. Do you think God's going to say something greater than what he said to Louisa? He says to Louisa, this is what I want you to begin to live. And when the illumination of conscience comes, those that are reading the divine will understand it more. Those that have never read it will come to it and begin to read and study and put into practice the truths that Jesus has given to Louisa. He says, and this serves her and causes her to be continuously working, continuously striving to perfect herself more. How do we perfect ourselves? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, without wasting time in idleness. And I please with this work. I keep retouching the soul little by little. He's the master painting us perfectly in order to portray my divine likeness. Do you see what God's doing? This is why it's so great to read every day, study every day. The cross, volume 1900, the cross is a mirror in which the soul observes the divinity. That's just what I said. The first thing I heard was, look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. The cross is the mirror. Okay, if we don't understand the cross, we're not going to observe divinity. If we don't observe divinity, what God has done for us, we won't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's to fall in love with God. And by reflecting herself in the cross, in this mirror, she acquires the features and the likeness that most resemble God. The cross must not only be loved, listen to this, but desired. But one must also hold the very cross as the honor and a glory that God has given to us. This is why every priest should have a cross. Every priest should have a cross and bless the people continuously with the Holy Cross. Jesus says this, the cross must not only be loved and desired, but one must hold the very cross as an honor, as a glory. This is to operate as God and to become like God by participation. We're not nailed to it, but even wearing the cross, like when you become a third order Benedictine, you wear the Benedictine cross, because I alone, Jesus says, glorified in the cross and considered suffering an honor for me, God. What do we consider suffering? We complain. We drag our cross behind us. Why do I have to go through this? Look what God is making me do. We have to understand what the cross is. This is love. This is glory. He says, because I alone, glorified in the cross, considered suffering an honor for me, God, and I, God, loved it so much that in my whole life, I, Jesus, did not want to be one moment without the cross. So that's why we wear the cross. That's why the priests carry the cross. If you look at the vestments for the traditional mass, there's a pillar on the front of the vestment of the priest, and there's a cross on the back. We have to be scourged. We have to be crucified. That's the priesthood. And it's not because we enjoy suffering. It's because Jesus, come down from that pillar just for a minute. Let me take your place. Lord, come down from that cross just for a minute so I can take your place. Why? So that you can receive some relief. That's what Jesus teaches Louisa. That's what Louisa teaches us. So who can say what I understood about the cross from this speaking of blessed Jesus, but I, Louisa, feel mute in expressing it with words. Ah, Lord, I pray you to keep me always nailed to the cross so that having this divine mirror ever before me, it may cleanse all of my stains and embellish me evermore unto your likeness. Volume 4, 424, 1900. Jesus began to drive the nails into my hands and my feet again. I felt such intensity of pain that I myself do not know how I remained alive, but I was content because I was making Jesus content. So finally, Jesus says, I found a soul like my mother. I found a soul that can, that wants to be obedient to me in at the crucifixion. Now, we have to understand this. This is very important. This is the true life of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, those that suffered the most. We don't have to go through that because we're cowards. We don't have to go through that because who could go to bed for the rest of her life when Jesus said, stay there, when you could walk? Who could stop eating when you could eat and obey Jesus? Who could stop sleeping and obey Jesus as Louisa? Who could stop drinking? I mean, she stopped drinking, eating, sleeping because she was obedient. Why did she have to do this? To really make amends for what Adam did. When Adam couldn't stay away from the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of good and evil. Louisa, when we get to know Louisa, we get to see the one who God loves so much that he gave her the cross, crucified her, day in and day out. I felt such intensity of pain that I myself do not know how I remained alive. And I was content because I was making Jesus content. It's not that Jesus wants suffering. He says, who loves me so much that will allow me to put that person through what I went through? That's Our Lady, number one, and Louisa, number two. And then after he bent the nails, I mean, this means permanent. Bending the nails means you're not going to fall off the cross. That the weight won't pull the nails out. The nails in the back are bent around. You see this with Mel Gibson's movie. After he had bent the nails, placing himself near me, he began to say, how beautiful you are. Why? A reflection of Jesus, a reflection of Mary. But how much more does your beauty grow in your suffering? See, this suffering is redemptive. And today, you know, if you have a headache, you know, take this. If you have a knee ache, take this. If you have, it's always relieve yourself. You don't have to go through this. The mercy killings is happening. The euthanasia, that's happening all over the place. Jesus says, when we suffer, we resemble Jesus and Mary. Oh, how dear you are to me. My eyes are wounded at looking at you, for they see my very image in you. Volume 4, 425, 1900. I looked inside the breast of our Lord, and he had a mirror, crystal clear, and it seemed that those who walked in an upright way, remaining completely absorbed in that mirror, while those who did not remained outside, without being able to receive any imprint of the divine image of blessed Jesus. Ah, Lord, keep me all absorbed. This is a prayer that God gives to Louisa and gives to us. Keep me absorbed in this divine mirror that I may know, I may have no other shade of intention but my operating one with you, God, fused with you, Lord. Volume 4, 5, 9, 1900. I found myself outside of myself, and in looking inside the vault of heaven, I saw three suns. One seemed to set in the east, another in the west, and the third in the south. And the splendor of the rays that they had sent forth was so great that they united with one with the other in such a way as to become one. And I seemed to see the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity and man formed with the three powers in the image of it. The three powers are intellect, memory, and will. That's what God wants for us. That our three powers, our intellect, we've got to begin to see things from a divine perspective. Our memory, has to be of Jesus and Mary. That's why we pray the rosary every day, to see Jesus, to see Mary, to experience their life. Our memory must be of the new Adam and of the new Eve. And then finally, our human will, no longer being doing what we want, but what God wants. I also comprehended that for one who would remain in that this divine light, his human will would be transformed in the Father, his intellect in the Son, and his memory in the Holy Spirit. Volume 4, 8, 1, 1900. Therefore, you, he's talking to Louisa, but he's also talking to us. You remain always before my humanity, keeping it as the mirror through which you shall wipe off all of your stains. And not only this, but as the mirror through which, by reflecting yourself in it, you shall acquire divine beauty. And little by little, see, that's our hope. Little by little, the more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, you shall keep adorning yourself to my own divine likeness. In fact, it is a property of a mirror to make an image appear within it, similar to that of the one who is reflecting himself in it. In such a way, such if it the material mirror, much more do I do so in the divine. So Jesus is saying, you think there's a reflection of you in the mirror? Wait till you see what I'm going to do with the divine will. You're going to see Jesus. That's why, that's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is so great. He says, more so in the divine, because my holy humanity serves mankind as a mirror in order to reflect my divinity. Who reflects the divinity of Christ? Right here you see her, the Blessed Mother, her Immaculate Heart. And now we see the newborn, the first one who possesses this. And Jesus is now saying to us, as my mother has done this, reflecting me, now as Louisa is reflecting Jesus and Mary, will you begin to allow me, Jesus says, to reign in you to such an extent that Jesus is there? So in your family, you, your eyes, you're gazing, you're saying, Jesus, gaze in my gazing. You're listening, Jesus, listen in my listening. You're Jesus, speaking in my speaking. Jesus is there as much as you want or as little as you want. But as soon as you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, Jesus says, I'm not there. I can't be there. Because my holy humanity serves mankind as a mirror in order to reflect my divinity. And here is how all goods come to mankind, come to humanity, from my holy humanity. That's why we have to go to purgatory if we do not reflect this divine image, this holy humanity of Christ. And if there's anything in us that is opposed to the holy humanity of Christ, we are going to be purified in purgatory. Volume 4, 11, 8, 1900. Would you be able to tell me why obedience is so glorified? Why obedience receives such honor as to imprint in the soul the divine image? Can you do it simply? This is a question Jesus is asking Louisa, but also asking us. Because Adam was disobedient, and he lost the image and likeness of God. Obedience is what Jesus did and what Mary did. She said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. Jesus says to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus and Mary teach Louisa what fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in this earth as it does in heaven. So Jesus says, obedience is so glorified because the soul has the virtue of rooting the human passions from their very roots. The human passions are the what we do when we go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. It's uprooted. The soul destroys, obedience destroys in the soul everything that is earthly, everything that is material. And to her great honor, she gives back to the soul her original state, obedience. That is the way she was created by God in her original justice, before being cast out of the eternal terrestrial Eden. And here is how obedience knows how to imprint well the divine image. Not only this, but the soul changes the human nature into divine. Because just as God is good, God is holy, God is most perfect, it is drawn to all that is good and greatly hates evil. So does obedience. It has the virtue of divinizing the human nature. So that's what St. Peter says in 2 Peter. He says, we are called to be divinized. The priest puts a drop of water into the chalice every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Because just as God is good, holy, and most perfect, he is drawn to all that is good and greatly hates evil. So does obedience have the virtue of divinizing the human nature, of making the human nature acquire the divine properties. That's what we're supposed to live. And what the saints have taught us is how to be good and holy and saintly. Now Jesus says, I wanted you to share in divinity. That's why we were created. And the more the soul lets herself be handled by this most experienced hand, the more of the divine the soul acquires, destroying her own being. What does that mean, destroying? It no longer is in charge. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin are no longer there. That's little by little we're getting to that point until finally we're going to have this glory that Jesus says mankind is supposed to live in. So, you know, when somebody says, hey, I'm living in the divine will, God bless you. I got to go to confession each week. Why? Because I'm nowhere close to this. I want this, but I'm nowhere close to this. Jesus has to be gazing in my gazing. Jesus has to be listening in my listening. Jesus has to be speaking in my speaking. I have to have his life reigning in me. And I'm far from that. But what God is asking, are you willing to say yes? Somebody said to me yesterday, I can't make the consecration. Jesus says, will you consecrate yourself to be perfect? And I can't do that because I can't be perfect. Why would Jesus say that to Louisa and to us if that's not going to happen? Of course, we're not perfect. But we say, Lord, you want me to be perfect? I want to be perfect. Let it be done as you say. And then you say, and you got to intervene for me because my life, the only good thing I can do is sin. That's all I can do. I'm not good at anything else. But with you, Lord, you are the one who will lead me, guide me, direct me as I read, as I study, as I put into practice the truths that you have given to Louisa. Volume 4, 12, 3, 1900. Oh, how one can touch with hand the sacrosanct mystery. See, do you see what Jesus is saying? How one can touch with your hand the sacrosanct mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, that while you are one, you are also three. It seems to me that all three of them spoke to me, but as the word came out, it formed one single voice. This is the triune God speaking to Louisa. Our nature is formed of most pure, most simple, communicative love, and the nature of true love has this of its own. This is what it is, to produce from itself images fully similar to itself in divine power, divine goodness, divine beauty, and in everything it contains, and only to give more sublime prominence to our omnipotence, it places the mark of distinction in such a way, melting it in it, this nature of ours that is simple with no matter at all that might prevent the union forms three persons and returning to melt, it forms one. Okay. So here Jesus is saying the triune God is reigning us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creation, redemption, and sanctification. And he says the image of the Trinity on earth is Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And so when we enter into this, returning to melt, it forms one. It is so true that the nature of true love has the prerogative of producing images fully similar to itself. This is a divine mystery that God is asking us to enter into, or assuming the image of the beloved, that second person, and redeeming mankind, assumed the nature and the image of man, and communicated the divinity to man. And while the Holy Trinity was saying this, I could distinguish my beloved Jesus very well, recognizing in him the image of the human nature. And only because of Jesus, I had the confidence to remain in their presence. Otherwise, who would have dared? So because of Jesus, we are going to be in God's image and likeness. Because of what Jesus has done. And Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now what they've given to a human born of original sin, Louisa. This is our confidence, our hope is in what God is going to do. Volume 4, 1901. Then this morning, having received Holy Communion, as I was in the summit of my affliction, see, she participated in the crucifixion. I felt the Lord move inside of me. And in seeing his image, I wanted to look and see whether it was of wood, alive, or was it of wood, or was it alive in the flesh? And I looked and I saw that the crucified was alive in the flesh in me. Who, looking at me, told me, if my image inside of you were made of wood, the love would only be apparent, because only true and sincere love, because of only true and sincere love, united to mortifications, and this is the sufferings, of not giving life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, make me be reborn alive, crucified in the heart of the soul who loves me. That's us, hopefully. Meditating on Christ crucified, being in front of our Eucharistic Lord. Volume 4, 2:19, 1902. The attention of the soul must be on seeing me. This is why seeing Jesus, on conforming in everything to the interior operations of the word, because when I, Jesus, draw the soul to myself, it can be said that at least for the time in which I, Jesus, keep the soul in my presence, the soul lives divine life, reflection, as if in a mirror. Like my divine light is like the brush with which to paint. See, the more we see Jesus, the more we become like him. My virtues providing the different colors. The soul is like a canvas receiving the portrait of the divine image of Jesus within herself. Volume 5, 6, 6, 1903. Unite then the sufferings caused by the thorns and those of the shoulders. This was his most horrible suffering, he said. His shoulder carrying the cross was right down to the bone, tore the skin, tore the muscle right off his shoulder. The recitation of the three glory bees, and offer it for the satisfaction of the three powers of man, image of memory, what are the three? The three powers of man. To be in our intellect, memory, and will. So are so disfigured that I, Jesus, can no longer recognize my image in them. So intellect, memory, and will has to return. And try to keep your human will always united with me in a continuous attitude of loving me. Let your memory be the bell that rings within you constantly. It reminds you of what I, Jesus, have done and suffered for you. See, this is the memory, Christ crucified. He says, of how many graces I have given to your soul. I mean, thank God he's let us be Catholic for the sacraments and sacramentals. So as to thank me and be grateful to me, since gratitude is the key that opens the divine treasures. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody just said that to me the other day. Who thanks God for every leaf on the tree, every blade of grass? Who thanks God for the sun? Who thanks God for every drop of water? It's the little children of the holy divine will. Let your intellect think of nothing and occupy itself with nothing but God. Do you see? This is what God is calling us to. If you do this, I, Jesus, shall find again my image in you, intellect and memory. And then I shall take satisfaction that I cannot receive from the other people. And you must do this continuously, because the offenses that are against God are continuous. Continuous must be the satisfaction of our intellect, memory, and will back to God, loving God, and getting ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we'll end here. We'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.